Success stories and interviews with game changers and thought leaders who have overcome both in life and in business. Welcome to Vertical Momentum.
Welcome to another episode of Vertical Momentum. I am your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Guys, you know, whenever I have anybody on the show, they're game changers and thought leaders. And a gentleman that I'm going to have on has been on my show three times. He's the only three-time guest I've ever had. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsors. As you guys know, the guys that sponsor my show 100% of the times, all the time. So I'd like to thank Ginger and David of Really Designs. They make all my t-shirts. They make all my swag. And it's all American made by hand, and they do everything themselves. So if you love swag, definitely check out Ginger and David at Really Designs, and I'll drop the link. And guys, if you're a business owner, you're going to want to get a piece of paper and a pen, and you're going to want to write some of this stuff down, because my brother Patrick is about to drop some serious knowledge, especially about marketing, SEO, anything to do with business. Patrick, my brother, how are you?
Boy, man, I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. As you know, today is my birthday.
Yeah, so, you actually took time to hang out with me on your birthday. So that's like a birthday gift.
Of course, man. I mean, you're probably one of the I was actually telling somebody about you the other day, and I'm like, man, this guy is it's ridiculous how selfless this guy is, and how how you just help other people. And I look up to you in that aspect. And yeah, man, I'm always happy to be on any of your shows. Any way I can help you out, I'm always down.
Well, like I said, you know, we're going to want to let the people know a little bit about you, about your, you know, your background, your military service. And then, because a lot of people, you know, they want to know the man behind the calculator or the computer. So
tell us
a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what kind of little kid were you, was little Patrick?
Oh boy. Little Patrick was a nightmare. Let's see. So yeah, with what I'm, where to even start? So I guess I'll go ahead and start. I grew up in Houston, Texas. I'm actually a third generation Marine. I enlisted straight out of high school. I mean, it was like the day after graduation, I went to go swear in. So I kind of grew up knowing that I'd join. As I said, third generation, which is really interesting. After I graduated boot camp, of course, all three of us were sitting around. And it was like, oh yeah, in boot camp, I did this and I did that. And then of course, you know, it went from like, you know, me telling my father, and my father's like, oh, that's nothing. And then of course, my grandfather being a Vietnam vet was like, yeah, they just used to like beat the heck out of us. So I'm like, yeah, you can't do that no more. But
so now what, you know, were you good in grade school? Were you good in high school? Were you a good athlete? Were you good in school?
Like in school, believe it or not, I was actually extremely introverted. I was the type of kid that, I was in ROTC or JROTC. But outside of that, I was fairly average in my grades. I didn't like school. I played like World of Warcraft and D&D. So I was like, I had my clique that I hung out with like the nerds and all, but I'd say things didn't necessarily take off for me being social until after high school. High school was like,
So now tell me your, you know, because I love everybody's recruiting story, because everybody has a different recruiting story. So talk to me about the day you walked into the recruiter.
Oh, boy. So because it was funny because, like, again, I knew that, like, I'm joining the Marines. Like, it's going to happen. And so I walked in. I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. Now, I was a fairly scrawny kid, and I mean, I couldn't get on the pull-up bar. I couldn't do a pull-up. I couldn't, you know, I didn't do the crunches. Like, I couldn't do any of that. But I'm like, hey, I'll do whatever I gotta do. And it was funny because the recruiter, like, so in recruiting school, they teach you, from what I know, like, okay, you gotta, you know, build rapport, find common ground with the, you know, with the recruit. And like my recruiter kept trying to talk about like guns and this, that, and the other. And like, I was all about like Warcraft and like Lord of the Rings. And so he actually did research about Lord of the Rings to have conversations with me to try and build that rapport. But yeah, I walked in there and I was like, yeah, I'm down to go. So, and from what he told me, I can't remember the word he used, but I was basically a saving grace. Like I was the one that made him hit his quota that month. So, but,
so he didn't really have to work too hard to get you.
Oh no, not at all. I was down from the get go. And yeah, the only hard part was really just getting the physical part down.
So what was it like getting to basic training? You know, cause I had the opposite problem. See, I grew up north and I was around a bunch of Southerners and I was totally lost. So what was it like, you know, going to basic training, a kid from, you know, from Houston and trying to, you know, integrate with all these new people from all across the world?
It was interesting. Like, because everybody from like, I think it's what the west of, is it the Mississippi River or it's, I think it's the Mississippi River. It's like everybody west of the Mississippi River goes to San Diego and east goes to Parris Island. So it was mainly a lot of Southerners, and like California kids and stuff like that. It wasn't that big of a culture shock. Now, after boot camp, whenever I got into my schooling, that was weird because I was encountering people from like the north and like the east coast, which I've never talked to before, and like just the differences was very interesting.
Yeah, we're people on the east coast, we're totally different people, and we you know, a lot of people like from the New York and New Jersey, they use the F word like everybody, like other people, yeah. Hello and hi, you know. So now, when you graduated, where was your first duty station?
So first duty station, I went to Mississippi. Mississippi was, I was on an Air Force base, which was spoiling. that definitely spoiled me. Nothing too crazy happened there. I mean, I broke my arm. I had to get held back a little bit. That was actually interesting because that was my first encounter with, I'd say, self-discipline in my life, where I had to really push myself and hold myself to a higher standard, which I'll be honest, I kind of failed at. And the main reason why I say that is, so because I got held back and I was still in school, like I already graduated, but I couldn't go to my station because I was on med hold. And so I had to hang around with the kid, like the Marines that were getting like either separated out or they failed out of their school, or like that's the type of people that I was around with. And that brings me to one of the principles that I learned very early on was, you are who you surround yourself with. And so now I didn't know that at the time. And so I kind of went into this whole, you know, I'm not gonna say down in the dumps, but it was like I started slipping, you know. But after that, I was there for about a year, and then I went to Japan, and I finally hit the fleet. And it's weird because that was what, like a year and a half into my service, I finally hit the fleet and able to like do my job, and then immediately they're like, "Hey, we need somebody to go to the armory." And then, so I was in the armory for 6 months. So I didn't actually get to do my job until like 2 to 2.5 years into my service. And then of course, by that time I forgot everything. Like, like it was kind of bad.
Now you did you deploy at all?
No, I did not. I like to say that I was a turbo pogue. So what I did was I was a radio calibrations technician. So I worked on, me specifically, I worked on radios, but in my job, in my MOS, what we would do is we'd work on like torque wrenches, weight scales, pressure gauges, and basically make sure that things read how they need to read. So if you put 100 pounds on a scale, it reads 100 pounds. And so we would adjust everything and make sure that everything is I believe it's metrology is the science behind everything.
Now you did 5 years almost to the day in the course. So what, you know, what was your transitioning out? You know, cause like a lot of people that I've talked to, now I've talked to hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have the same issues when they get out. Number one is they lose the camaraderie.
Right.
Number two is, you know, we're all hoo-a-hoo-a, but we get used to getting paid on the 1st and the 15th, mm-hmm. get used to getting BAQ, all that good stuff. And then we just don't have a mission anymore.
Right.
So what was your transitioning like, Al?
It was a very unique transition, I would say, because I know all of those problems. I'm familiar with all those problems. But whenever I was over in Japan, I got connected with a friend that was a young millionaire, like go-getter hustler type, right? And I mean, he was, you know, I'd see him on like Facebook and I'm like, man, this dude's on like private jets. Like, what does this guy do? You know? So I reached out to him and I got started with business and with him. And so whenever it was time for me to come out, like we already had a business in motion, we were already doing all this stuff. And I was, now I'm not going to lie, I was arrogant as hell. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get out and I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to do all this stuff. So I was like, not worried, which I feel like is very common for a lot of people transitioning out, is they're like, oh, everything will be fine. And then, of course, you actually get out and it's a whole different world.
You know, because like I say, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Oh, yeah, I got beat.
So now, yeah. Were you starting business while you were in the Marine Corps?
So, yeah, whenever I was active, I started learning sales. And this is a whole nother kind of conversation, but we always talked about being partners, but I never signed anything on paper, which is a red flag, which I didn't know about because I was naive. But he would have me do the sales. And so like I learned business principles. I learned how to talk to people. I learned how to manage customers. I learned what is value. What is a service? Like, how do you do this stuff? And I learned all that while I was active duty. So like whenever I was, my last duty station was in Barstow, which funny story about that. You never skip the chain of command whenever you're talking to somebody, because I accidentally got that whole base removed as an option for my MOS by talking to the wrong people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird situation, because the civilians never let us really do our job. And so I'm like, I ran into a lieutenant colonel who was my CO in school. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up, sir? You know, and we started talking and he's like, how's Barstow? And I'm like, oh, well, the civilians don't let us do their job. And I started telling him about this stuff, thinking that he'd say, oh, well, I'm going to talk to the civilians and make the Marines do their job. But instead, he's like, all right, well, we're just going to shut that base down for that MOS and send everybody everywhere. So like, I was a little bit hated for a little bit.
Yeah, I was just saying, you were not exactly the most loved person.
I wasn't really the most loved person. Like, we had like three people get sent to Japan and like legit, it was wild. But interesting story for sure. But yeah, while I was active, like in breaks, in my off time, I would be making calls. I would be reaching out to customers. And I mean, we started doing like helping people get Instagram and Twitter followers for like personal brands and small businesses. And then whenever we got out, or whenever I got out, we kind of transitioned it to, okay, we need to do more of an online presence. And this was like 2017. And it was around that time that a lot of businesses really started realizing like, hey, I got to start popping up online. And it was through like getting people on Google and getting people on Yelp and like a Facebook page that I really started learning like, hey, this stuff is called SEO. And like there's a whole thing about it. And, but yeah, to answer your question, I mean, I was like, oh, it's chow time. Let me go make a call. Like, it was super rough doing that.
Okay. So now, first, then we're going to get into something. You know, I had you on my show, I think maybe July, August of 2020. Mm-hmm. Thing was going great. And then all of a sudden I see a post in the Vetrepreneur Tribe or Success Engineers, maybe both. Mm-hmm. The proverbial shit hit the fan.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of went, you know, went dark for a little while. Not too dark, but, you know, you kind of were like, all right, I'm going to take a break for a couple of minutes. You know, I want to, you know, reset and do a reset. So, mm-hmm. you know, talk to us because, you know, I got burned in business. And like, but this is not downing anybody. So I'm not calling anybody out.
Oh, no,
but,
for sure.
Know, just talking in general. The things we should do, you know, because I was with my friend, we were together 11 years. And, you know, eventually I thought I was going to be a partner and that it didn't work out that way. But as a lot of it, because I was presuming a lot.
Right.
So talk to us about not making presumptions.
Yeah. So a little backstory as to what actually happened. Pretty much that exact same thing. Like I was like, we were buddies in high school and we were working together. And now I was the one running the company. The company was his on paper, legally, everything. But I was the one making the calls. I was the one getting the sales. I was the one managing the customers, doing the work, handling the problem, like all of that. I was doing all that. And I presumed because he would tell me, and of course there's a lot more behind it, but he would always tell me, he's like, hey, we need to hit these numbers and like we can start hiring people and, you know, we can do, here's a percent. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. You know, let's keep going. So I went to extreme lengths, and I'm talking like over since I got out, like I'd say a week after I got out, I drove home. I spent like 2 days with my mom. Then I drove down to Houston and like every day from like 7 to 10, I would work out of a Starbucks. And that was for like 2 years. I didn't have a personal life. I didn't do anything. I didn't go have fun. I didn't spend my money. And then I moved out of my parents. I moved in with a girl actually, and that was a little weird, but same thing, you know, work constantly. And then I left that girl, moved back into my parents, same thing, work. Then I moved in with a friend, same thing, work. And I finally got to a point to where I moved into like a high rise. And it was like, that was my first ever apartment that I ever owned. So that spoiled me for sure. But everything was going super good. I mean, I brought that company myself from like zero to 55 grand a month, you know, recurring revenue, really good stuff. And the political climate got a little weird. Sales started dropping, and basically I wasn't getting paid the proper way, which I didn't necessarily know about. And that kind of brings me to my first thing is it's, you have to talk and to other people in your industry and look at other things, because if you put on the blinders and you're like, you only believe what, let's say, your partner or your work is telling you, which is like mistake number one that I did, because I cut off literally everybody except for this guy. And he was the sole influence in my life for, I'd say, 3 years. And everything else I didn't take as credible because of kind of what he told me. There's a lot of like psychological craziness going on, but there's so many presumptions that I made of like, oh yeah, like just because he told me this, that, and the other, like this is going to happen and this is how it's going to go. And so, I mean, that brings me to one thing that I learned is get things in writing. If you don't have things in writing, if you don't have goals in writing, you don't have ownership, you don't have tasks, you don't have, like, there's nothing that can be done. Because, I mean, one, people forget things, and it's not even like people maliciously forget things and then change things up against you. but it's like people just forget. And so, you know, one day your tasks can be this, this, and this. And then, you know, 2-3 months later, a problem arises. And then, hey, why didn't you handle that? It's like, well, I didn't know that that was my issue, you know. Get things in writing, because that removes even the possibility of, you can't make presumptions. You can't make assumptions. You can't do anything of that. What is it they say about assuming, and it makes an ass of you and me, you know?
like I went through, and it cost me a lot of money with a family member and contracts. And I just signed a contract without reading it. And it cost me a boatload of money.
But it was
the biggest teaching tool that, you know, and thank God that I learn how to read contracts, because like right before me and my wife were going for her divorce, they tried to slip some stuff in there right as we're walking into the chamber. And I'm like, no,
no.
Did you forget something? Hello. But it's amazing how, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you had to get your ass kicked a little bit. And but for you to, you know, then you had to reboot and start your own business. So now talk to us about starting your own business, how it was, you know, because the kind of person that, you know, like we've known each other for years.
You're right.
You're always providing value. You're always building relationships. So was that one of your saving graces, that you had a lot of great relationships?
It was absolutely huge. And funny enough, I'm not going to say it's mine entirely. However, I'm doing things the right way, and I'm going up the right chains in order to get things, you know, par for partnership type stuff. But because of my relationships, because of my value that I give, I had so much attention that whenever I actually made that post and said, hey, I'm no longer with this company, I had people offering me jobs. They're like, Patrick, I've seen you work. Like, you do crazy things. Like, I want you, you know? I actually had my eyes set on, where I'm at currently, which is a company, Connected Funnels, and the owner I'm good friends with. And we've been friends for a while, and I knew that he's a good guy. And basically he saw that happened, and he's like, look, I'll take care of you. Come over here, bring all of your knowledge over, and like, we can literally set things up from the ground up. And I came over, helped him kind of revamp the company, brought over all my knowledge, all my experience. And, I mean, now we're doing, like, I'm basically had to start from ground zero again, but I'm already moving, with so much speed, you know? Those relationships are huge.
Yeah. And I absolutely say, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would not be where I am today, even though I'm nowhere great, you know, compared to some other people that I'm shooting for, like Jocko Willett. You know, he's number one and I'm only number eight. So I got a lot of work to do, but without you, I wouldn't have, you know, thought about putting a Google My Business. I wouldn't thought of some of the things that you've taught me, and, you know, hiding, like using the whole, you know, birthday thing on Facebook to that it actually, like I was telling somebody the other day, that, you know, they have a feature called upcoming birthdays. And if you go and say, if I send a person a message, happy birthday, their stuff, my stuff starts getting seen on their feed automatically. And a lot of people don't use that. You know, I mean, it's great, you know, to keep in touch with everybody and wish people a happy birthday, but it's also a tool that they can use, that if you don't know about it, you know, you don't really know. You don't know what you don't know.
Right. And yes, especially with like stuff like that, there's so many little tidbits in the algorithms that you can use. Like, for example, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's on TikTok, and she teaches not social media marketing. And so it's not necessarily like for businesses, but she teaches how the algorithms work. She teaches how the artificial intelligence works and how these things work on a very intricate level. And she'll, to prove a point, she started a new TikTok, and within like 3 days, she had like 100,000 followers, and she would break things down into like a psychological principle and how the mechanics work. So literally she would talk about, like, she did a whole video on the colors of your background and how different colors can get you more views, because, you know, a light blue, a pretty color, can get more attention than, let's say, a harsh dark or a harsh red. And same thing with, like, it's proven that if you have a dog in a video, you get more likes. Like, how on like TikTok and in these other programs and platforms, if you ever do a video and you're talking, make sure that you subtitle it, because the algorithms will scan the actual video and read the subtitles and then give, like, if let's say in your subtitles you're talking about dogs, it will give that information, or it'll grab that information, it will push you in front of more people that like dogs. And so, like, there's all types of little things, and just like you said with the birthdays, like, there's all these little aspects that go into the algorithm and into the features of these platforms that you can leverage to not only keep in touch with people, but grow a reach and grow your audience.
Now, you know, like I said, you know, we're involved in a couple of groups together, Success Engineers, Vetrepreneur Tribe, and I'll talk later. But talk to us about, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, like, when they hear SEO, it is complicated in a way, but in a way, it's a lot of it is like common sense, and you break it down Barney style, especially for people like me, you know, like, you know, like talking about, you know, long tail words, you know, and I never really put two and two together, you know, like, if I put out a post about, you know, like our this video when it goes out, have, you know, some long tail SEO, but also some short tail. But I never thought about what somebody else is looking up and what I look up. I never thought it being the same thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, SEO is very interesting because there's, I think it's last time I checked, there's like 200 or so factors for, like, let's say local SEO. And there's just so many different things. And one of the best things that I could tell people is start by putting yourself in your customer's shoes. And I know that's something that business owners hear all the time. It's like, put yourself in your customer's shoes, but it's like, really think, you know, hey, if I had this problem, what would I look for? What would I search for? What would I pick? And you have to, the hardest part about it is you have to be unbiased, because you can't say like, oh, well, I look pretty because it's me. You know, like, you have to really ask yourself these questions. And whenever you start asking yourself these questions, then it comes down to like, okay, cool. What do I have to do? I have to pop up in these searches. And there's all types of things such as like long tail keywords. And like, I'm not going to lie, SEO can be more of a rabbit hole than the freaking Matrix, right? But for the basic business owner, like, if you're, hey, I'm a tire shop and I'm trying to cater to, you know, 10 square miles, whatever it may be, all you really got to focus on is just building an online presence and being out there, because Google breaks things down into all of these factors, and there's different types of SEO, what we call white hat, gray hat, and black hat. So of course, Google wants you to focus on the user. And so if you always focus on just being out there and writing good stuff and giving value to your user, you will always rank. You will always pop up. It just might take longer. And then, of course, you have people that do like black hat stuff where they try to game the game. And to a certain extent, you kind of have to. But it's whenever you try and like, you find an exploit in the algorithm. It's like, oh, if I talk about cats, I'm going to rank higher, even though you sell tires. You know, it's stuff like that you want to watch out for. but mainly just focus on being out there, talking about what you do and giving value to people. Because one of the biggest updates is there's like the Hummingbird, I think it's a Hummingbird, where Google scans all the content you put out and they can tell if you're fluffing it with keywords, and they can tell if it makes sense for a person to read versus a computer. And so if you do everything you do with the end user in mind, you'll never go wrong.
You know, and I love that, you know, kind of like my podcast, a lot of it's about, you know, self-development, self-improvement. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, you know, they'll tell you, you know, like I said, stuff that you've taught me, and I'm always listening, and whatever you post you put out, I'm following. So, you know, that if you talk about it, you know, whatever's, you know, in your headline, make sure mm-hmm. that it's in your, that you guys are actually talking about it in the interview. So the mm-hmm. words are coming up in the interview and also in the headline, and then in also in, not the bio, but in the context of, you know,
the right.
But a lot of people don't realize that, and I didn't realize it, and I'm like, you know, that really makes a lot of sense. But if you don't think about it, you know, you're like,
oh, right,
you know. So what is it's... So, you know, and I also, something I really learned, and I didn't, and I've been really, because now I started, you know, you told me to start a new Vertical Momentum podcast mm-hmm. For Google Your Business. Now, if I put an update in there, I hear crickets. But if I post a picture, all of a sudden, like I got a thing said, your picture was seen like 2,500 times.
It's right.
Amazing how something as simple as posting a picture, Google will push it out. But if you put an update, you hear crickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, because now I'm not going to lie, with your type of business, it's very interesting. Not a lot of podcasts have, let's say, Google My Businesses. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, if I can get reach on anything, I can get reach, you know? It's like for an average business, you know, for them to be on, let's say, Pinterest. Like some businesses have no business being on Pinterest, but if it works and if they can get reach and they have the time and it's not like a lot of involvement for them, it's like, screw it, why not? You know, all you need is a click that leads to a call, that leads to a sale or whatever it may be, a listen, you know? So wherever it comes from, doesn't really matter as long as it happens. But yeah, like with stuff like that, Google loves content. And a big thing also is Google loves consistency. So a lot of people will get on Google, and here's kind of the funny thing. People will get on Google and then they'll do all this stuff once and they'll never touch it again. And then they'll be like, why am I not popping up? And it's like, because Google cares about consistently using their platform. They want you to constantly do more. A good thing to remember is if, like, there's no such thing as a free service at the end of the day. If you're using something for free, like you're the product, you know? And that's how it is with Google. And that's how it is with Facebook too. It's like, you are the product. You're the actual thing that they're building everything around. It's not so that you can go on Facebook and post. That's not what Facebook's for. Facebook's for data. Facebook's so that they could get your data and sell it to advertisers, and they could build all these platforms around that. And it's the same thing with Google. So Google wants you to constantly use their platform. And the more you use their platform to a certain degree, I mean, there's point of diminishing returns, but the more you use their platform, the more you engage on their platform, the higher they kind of reward you and make you rank a little bit more. And so that's why that happens. Because a picture content is higher than text, or if you change a phone number or like little updates like that.
Okay, now I have a lot of questions, because, you know, now we're going to get into business and a lot of people are going to listen to this about, you know, a lot of people have in the past, I'm not saying now because things change, you know, mm-hmm. they've bought followers on Instagram or, ooh. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, they have like, say, 100,000 followers because they bought a lot mm-hmm. of them, and they put out a post and they get 3 reactions.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of, and because they're only getting that 3 reaction, the money that they spent to get those followers, they're not being seen anymore by Instagram, right?
Right, right. So buying followers is actually like one of the worst things that you can do, because most of those followers that you buy are literally fake. Like, they're just fake accounts, and they will never engage. They will never do anything. It just bumps that follow number up. And it's very easy to spot somebody that bought followers, because if you look at their account, they have a million followers. I typically say it's like the rule of 10. So if you have a million people following you, it should be 10% of that million, which is what, 100, yeah, 100,000. So I think, better math, 100,000 people will actually see that post. And then out of 100,000 that actually see the post, 10% of that will actually engage on it, or do something, comment, like, whatever it may be. And now this is not always true, but it's like, it's a good ratio that I kind of judge. So if I see somebody with like 100,000 followers and they're getting like 10 likes, it's like, okay, something's up, you know? Because it just shows that like, hey, these aren't actual real people, because the people that it's showing to are fake accounts. And of course, if you really dive into it, you can see just by looking at their follower list, like, yeah, this is fake, that's fake, that's fake. But buying followers is just absolutely terrible. What it does is it skews the algorithm. That people don't engage. And what I mean by skewing the algorithm is, if you have, let's say, Instagram followers, Instagram looks at your followers and it tracks that data. Like I mentioned, like, this is all about data tracking. And it'll track the data of what they do, how they engage with it. But if they don't actually have any data, then Instagram looks at all of the people that are following you and is like, there's no data here. And so they can't use anything to push you in front of new people. So it completely skews things. You can start reaching like random people that have no interest in what you're doing. And I mean, I've seen entire accounts just die because of that, or get shadow banned, or I mean, all types of issues. And it's the same thing with like backlinks. So people buy backlinks off like Fiverr, and what they'll do is they'll go spend like $200 and buy like 1,000 backlinks for their website. And basically how this looks at Google is Google looks at your website and be like, oh yeah, overnight you just got 1,000 backlinks. Well, that's BS for one. And two, all these backlinks are just trash. So it actually does way more harm than good. Way more harm than good.
Okay, so now I have another question, because I got permanently banned from TikTok. permanently, because I was posting stuff about veteran suicide, and I guess they were not happy with that, so they permanently banned me. So now I heard, you know, I've been messing around with Instagram Reels. Now,
okay.
And because, you know, sometimes you have to play around and, you know, to figure out if this shit is real, if it's fake.
Right, right.
So, like, you know, like if I put out a post, I'll usually get 20, 30 likes. But, you know, I did an Instagram reel yesterday and like 2,500 people seen it. So yeah. Talk to us about, and I found out, you know, because like you said, you know, you have to educate yourself. You have to work on your business and in your business. That,
right.
Like, if I have a regular Instagram account, only the, and I post something, only the people that are following me can see that. But if you put it on Reels, it opens up to a lot bigger audience. So can you
talk
about that a little bit?
Yeah. So from how I understand, Reels is Instagram's basically reaction to TikTok. And the whole premise of it is it's to show, so think of like your Instagram story and you just scroll, but instead of people that you're following, it's people that you might not know. And so like, that's the cool thing about TikTok, is it's like, okay, yeah. And TikTok, you have the people that you're following, but you also have people that's like, oh, I've never known who this person was. But they're suggested to you based on the algorithm, based on the content itself. So that's like I mentioned whenever doing the TikTok stuff. If you do, if you do a video talking about dogs, then TikTok will show you to people that do not know who you are, but like dogs. And so that's why you can reach a stupid amount of people right now. And at the same time, the algorithms are super new. So there's all types of exploits. There's all types of ways that you can kind of game it and not necessarily have consequences from that, but just reach a ridiculous amount of people is because it's so new. And that's what it's kind of designed to do, is to put you in front and introduce people to your content that don't know who you are.
Okay, so now talk to us about, because I hear some people say you're only supposed to use 5 hashtags. Some people say you can use up to 30, or if you use too much, they'll actually punish you for using too many hashtags. What is the real deal?
Now, I typically, I'll be honest, hashtags in Instagram, I know it's changed since last time I really dove into it, but what I looked at, you can use up to 30. You have the maximum. And I typically tell people like, hey, I would use the maximum, but you got to break it down. Because the misconception is a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm going to use 30 hashtags. And I'm going to get in all 30 hashtags. And it doesn't really work that way. So I'll tell people, again, you have to put yourself in customer shoes. But focus on, like, I'd say, like, 10 generic hashtags, 5 hashtags that are like really high traffic. So if, let's say, you do, you focus on like veterans, you know, hashtag veterans, hashtag military, like they're going to be super high traffic, and the chances of you actually being on there and like somebody scrolling are going to be very low because they have so much content, but it's better to do that. And then you have some of the more specific ones, and like long tail. So it's kind of like SEO, where you have like your long tail ones and your short tail, and you have to do research into them to break down, okay, is this just so much high traffic it's not even worth getting into? Or, you know, is this so low traffic that nobody even searches for it? And there's all types of tools for that. But yeah, hashtags I look at kind of like SEO. And again, at the end of the day, you really have to look at what people are searching for. And what I'll tell people is, don't describe what you're posting about. So like, if let's say I post my car, I have a yellow Mercedes, I wouldn't post about like yellow car, or, you know, like I wouldn't describe the picture. I would type in hashtags that people would look at. So hashtag Mercedes, people look for that. Hashtag AMG, people look for that. Hashtag fast cars, hashtag burnout, you know, like stuff like that. And that way you can position everything to what people actually type in and not what you think would be cool to pop up in. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love it. Okay, so now talk to us. Now, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make? Now, I love that that checklist. I think that's one of the most amazing things you've ever done.
Oh yeah.
And I actually saved it on, and now I'm actually going through it and making sure that I'm doing whatever whatever you tell me to do. But what are some of the biggest mistakes that new business owners make as far as,
I think,
SEO?
For sure. I think some of the biggest mistakes that people make are going to be more on the set it and forget it type mentality. I see that all the time. So I'm going to do a little bit of a shameless plug. But so as I said, I handle, like, I focus on getting businesses online so that they can be found, trusted, and chosen over competition by people specifically looking for what they offer. And I mean, we do this for like $249 a month, right? Like nothing wild, nothing crazy. And we go and we manage Google and Yelp and Bing and Manta and Yahoo. And that's kind of the biggest thing I see people mess up on, is like they'll build a Facebook page and then they never use it. Or like they'll build a Facebook page. The page is super generic. It has like the logo isn't even filled in. The hours aren't there. They don't have their products there. They don't have their services there. The address is missing. Like things like that. And people will then look at, okay, I'm on Facebook. Now let me go pay for ads. It's like, no, you're not there yet. You need a good foundation because not only is online presence like your branding, but it's your visibility. I mean, it helps with conversions. It's your image. And so I think the biggest mistake is that right there is people will like, let's say get on Google. They fill it out a little bit. They never touch it consistently. And then they say, well, I guess I got to pay for ads now. And then they kind of just skip steps and skipping the foundation, I think, is the absolute biggest thing, because the funny thing that I see about it is like so many people skip those steps that the people that actually put in the time and the effort to do those steps, like they, yes, it takes time, but I mean, they just climb through the ranks. I mean, they just start destroying everybody over time. And I'm actually going to be making another checklist here soon. I just got to finish it on website SEO, and it's going to go through like the metadata. What do you got to do? Like, what are the biggest things, like your page speed, or your images too big? Is your site updated? Like stuff like that. But yeah, I'd say that's really the biggest mistake people make is they do the bare minimum on it. Like they'll get on Google, they'll get on Facebook and Instagram. They might get on Yelp. Don't pay for Yelp, by the way. It's terrible. But and then they're like, okay, now let's do paid advertising. And it's like, no, you're not there yet. If you build out more of a foundation and then you do paid advertising, not only do you have to spend less, but you're going to have higher conversions because you look better. And you have two full avenues in motion, not just one. Because if you build a business based around paid traffic, you're marrying your success to the fact that you're paying for that traffic. And if anything happens, like an ad campaign switches, the audience targeting changes up. You can't even do that audience anymore. Your ad account gets shut down. Like, you're screwed. I mean, I've seen businesses that will build around Home Advisor in the trades, and then Home Advisor will give you a string of bad leads. And it's like, yeah, I'm out $700, $1,000, and I have zero revenue coming in for the next 3 weeks. Like, I'm freaking panicking, you know? So focus on organic, shake hands, be found, be visible, and then start doing paid stuff.
No, like I found, I've done Facebook campaigns, and I've boosted, and I found out I get much better results when I boost a post than when I do an ad campaign.
Okay.
You know, everybody is, you know, has different results, but you know,
right.
Like when we met, we went to the MIC conference, you know, the MIC conference, and was it 2019?
Yeah, I think so.
And I had, you know, we got to hang out with Mr. Dennis Yu, you know, and he was talking about, you know, sometimes even if you're spending $1 a day, is a lot. You can get a much bigger reach spending $1 a day than some of these companies that are spending hundreds of dollars a month.
Oh yeah,
just by boosting some of your content. So, what are your thoughts on that?
So I typically break down first things first. Boosting and ads are different, and I like to, you know, anybody that's listening, you have to know that.
Yep, that's why you're here.
Yeah. So, boosting a post is really, it's you're not able, you don't have a full toolkit to use, I suppose. Like, let's say you boost a post and it's like, hey, I have a podcast coming on today on the 21st. You know, you put some money behind it and shows it to different people. And you can have kind of a general audience for that and stuff like that. For a paid ad, this is where you kind of have to do some research and know what you're doing and have like a funnel and a plan. Because for a paid ad, you could do targeting. You could do different steps. Okay, where do these people go? What do they see? Is there pictures? Is there multiple products? Like, do they go to a landing page? Do they input information? I mean, and you have to plan things several steps out in order to get it functioning the right way. And you have to test it. Like, I'll tell people with a boost, typically, if you're going to do a boost, do it low budget, do it consistently, but count that money as going into brand awareness and visibility and not like trying to get sales from it, if that makes sense.
Yep. And I put this out there, if there's anybody, because I made the mistake when I first started doing this and I did an ad and it was pay-per-click, and all of a sudden my website got like 5,000 viewers, and then I got a huge bill for like $800. So do not make, make sure that you're paying attention to whatever you're doing and do not click the wrong button. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh man, I ran into somebody, I think this was 2 years ago, and I felt so bad because like at the time, like I wasn't able to walk her through it, and like it was a whole shenanigan things. But it was like her and her husband were working this company together, and she got started with an ad campaign, and like something happened to her husband. I don't know if they were like getting a divorce or like he was sick or something, but like she couldn't figure out how to turn the ads off. And like I sent her the guides on like, hey, you got to do this, that, and the other. And it was something on like, I don't have access to it. And so she was just getting billed like, and it was like $800 a month. Like it was a lot of money, you know, and it was just draining. And I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, you gotta watch things because, and it all happened because she thought she was doing, she like set it up to where it was a budget, but she set it up to be like open-ended or something.
Yep.
And it just didn't stop.
Yep.
And it just kept going. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
So now last two questions. How do we find you? Where can we start working with you? You know, if we want you to come help our businesses. So how do we find you? How do we find your business?
For sure. So, easiest ways to find me is going to be on social media. Just about all of my tags and usernames are going to be at PTRKBURT. The company I'm working with is connectedfunnels.com. And I mean, we do everything from ads to SEO to, I mean, we're a full service. So web design, whatever it is. But finding me, I typically tell people like, hey, you can just message me on Facebook. In my message requests, I check them always. And if you just need help, like, hey, Patrick, you know, I don't even know what I need. Where should I start? I'm always down to help for free. You know, hey, let's hop on a quick call. I'll pass you over some, you know, game plan step by step. Especially if it's a business I've worked with. And I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, almost a little over half a decade, and I've worked with like 1,300 plus businesses in various industries. So chances are I could say, oh yeah, I've worked with that before. This is what I saw worked. I picked up these tricks from other industries that can apply to you. Like, yeah, Facebook's super easy. Anywhere really.
Okay. So now the last question I have, cause we live in a crazy world, you know, we got COVID and we got parents that are homeschooling kids, and we're trying to work two jobs to get food on the table. So if I ask the average person to do something in 7 days, they're not likely to get to it. But if I ask somebody to take an actionable step in the next 24 hours, they're more likely to do it.
So for sure.
If somebody's struggling with, you know, getting their business out there, getting their business known, what is something they can do in the next 24 hours to start to right the ship?
So I would actually say that checklist that I made, and you can, you know, you can pop that into this podcast if there's a way to do that some way like that. But if in 24 hours you're like, all right, what can I start to look at? First things first, look over Google My Business. Make sure that everything is filled out. You have all of your attributes. You have your services listed. You have all the categories are there. You have all the pictures filled out. Pictures have descriptions. I mean, there's always something to do on Google My Business. And if you have that laid out, next step is, okay, let's be consistent with posting. Let me add some new pictures. Let me, you know, let me respond to reviews. If I've already responded to reviews, you can edit responses. And whenever you respond, make sure you pop in your keywords. So instead of saying, hey, thanks for the 5-star review, go in and say, thanks, John, for stopping by Patrick's Pizzeria here in Houston, Texas. I'd be happy to see you stop by again, you know? So make sure that Google is consistently being improved upon, because that's so big. From there, you want to make sure the same things with all of your Instagram or your social profiles that you're using. So they're fully filled out. They have all the information. They're you don't have to necessarily be consistent, and a common misconception is I got to post every day. No, you really don't. Like, depending on what you do, you could probably get away with once every other day. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. But so have things filled out. That's number one. Once you have the basics filled out, then start building new things. Hey, I'm not on Apple Apps. I'm not on Bing Places. You know, I need to start filling this stuff out. And it's not hard. It takes some time. And it's one of those things that if you do it, you have to stay up with it. And that's typically where people fall off. And if I'm being honest, that's typically why people hire me, is because we have teams and systems that can watch all this stuff, measure it, grow it, you know, adjust it if you need be. Because the last thing you want to do is, if you got to change a phone number, go hunt down everything that you had the old phone number when. I mean, it sucks, but we do it. But yeah, if you had 24 hours, I'd say start there. Focus on the foundational things and look at just what's not filled out, what it hasn't been touched in a while. Once you get the foundation there, then start moving up into like, okay, consistent actions, social media content, Google posts, you know, what consistent things can I do? And for content, I suggest laying out and planning ahead. It's just so much better. Because the problem that a lot of businesses have is not, I don't have time to post. I mean, let's face it, posting takes 30 seconds. You know, it's, I don't have the time to sit down and think of what to post. And so what I recommend is just get a notebook or a notepad. And anytime you get an idea, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Like, if you're a pizza shop, literally just post a video of you spinning a pizza or making a pizza. I mean, like, little things like that. You don't have to be Domino's, you know? You don't have to have a crazy thing to post. I mean, especially if you're a mom and pop business, like, now more than ever, people want a mom and pop business. Show that you're a mom and pop business. But foundation, consistent content, and then from there, that's when I say you start getting into the in-depth optimizations and like, okay, how can we squeeze more out of what we have? But you don't want to try and squeeze more out of what you have whenever you don't even have, you know, a full lemon to squeeze, if that makes sense.
I love that. So, guys, definitely check out my brother Patrick. Check out what he's doing. Follow him. He's everywhere. He's on, you know, you see, he's all over Vetrepreneur Tribe. He's all over Success Engineers with our friend, Dr. Robert Garcia. He's everywhere. Guys, I want to thank our sponsor for today. Without you guys, I would not be here. So if you guys love swag, Ginger and David make some amazing swag. They have a great company. He designs, and they will design everything for you. American made, 100%. Patrick, brother, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your friendship for all these years. Appreciate you.
Oh, man, happy to be on here. And definitely, like, I'm not going to lie, some of the stuff that you post about, it's inspiring, because like, I know your story, I know what you do. And it's like, as I said in the beginning, man, you're one of the most selfless people I've ever met.
Well, I appreciate you, brother. Well, God bless you and have a beautiful week, man. Crush it.
There we go. There we go. Same to you, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. Please hit subscribe and share. Please feel free to leave us a comment.